Greetings and blessings, friends. In this video, I want to go more deeply into the third portal of the integral Jewish meditation practice, the portal of awareness itself. Of course, awareness is really the basis of the first two portals as well, but those portals are about the function of awareness, which is being aware of something. In this third portal, however, we turn our attention to attention itself. Awareness becomes aware of awareness. But what is awareness? We know awareness as the basis of all experience, and so therefore we can never perceive awareness objectively. Awareness is always perceiving objects, but awareness can never be an object. It can never be a thing that we perceive. So really, awareness is more like no thing, like nothing. Now, the word nothing in English usually isn't such a positive term. For example, when a person is called nothing, it's often either meant as an insult, implying that the person is worthless, or as an expression of humility, as in, "Oh Hashem, I am nothing." Now, it's probably obvious that putting someone down is an expression of ego, as it aims to enhance one's own self-sense of being a something by degrading someone else and calling them a nothing. But claiming to be nothing yourself can also be an expression of ego, especially if you believe that humility is some kind of spiritual attainment that you can wear like a badge. But the real nothing is totally different. Awakening to yourself as nothing comes from simply seeing that you're not limited by your mind-based identity of thoughts and feelings. You're not limited by any particular things because you are not a thing. You are no thing, because awareness is the space within which all things are perceived, and you are that awareness. So you're not a special somebody, and you're not a worthless nobody. You are the space of this moment. You are no thing. Furthermore, being no thing isn't some kind of special attainment, it's just a basic fact. Now, if this seems difficult to grasp, don't worry. The more you do the practice, the more you'll naturally get a sense of what these words are pointing to, rather than trying to understand it through a lot of thinking. In fact, this experience of no thing that's inherent within the portal of awareness blossoms naturally from the first two portals. You don't have to try to force it. So let's review once again the first two portals. In the portal of the heart, we begin by invoking the kavanah of open-heartedness, of chesed. In offering our presence to the fullness of what is in this moment, we invoke that fundamental openness of awareness rather than reaching for a particular kind of experience. In this way, we don't practice for the sake of reaching a goal, but rather we begin with the goal. We can do this because the goal is already present. It was and is your natural state of awareness all along, beneath your thoughts and feelings. Next, in the portal of the body, we learned about sustaining presence through connection with your senses. Unlike the thinking mind, which tends to seduce us into the imaginary worlds of past, future, and fantasy, sensory awareness provides an anchor to our present moment experience. And while the attitude of chesed is nearly effortless to invoke, the sustaining of presence in the body takes some mental discipline, some gevura or strength to complement the chesed. Now, as you practice these first two portals, you may still feel a basic duality between yourself on one hand and the object of your awareness on the other hand. If you're aware of your breathing, for example, there's that sense that I am aware of my breathing, two separate things. We might call this the experience of duality. Another example of duality might be the experience of me on one hand and my awareness on the other. In this dualism, there's the sense that awareness is something you have rather than something you are. But as you deepen in presence, a new experience of unity begins to emerge as you learn to know yourself not as your thoughts or as your feelings, but as the awareness behind your thoughts and feelings. This experience doesn't erase the sense of duality. On the level of thought and feeling, duality is natural and necessary. But on the level of awareness, there emerges a complementary experience of oneness in which all things are part of the whole. From this point of view, the ego sense of a separate me drops away, and a new sense of simply being, of no thing, naturally emerges. Now, there's a kind of paradox here. On one hand, knowing yourself as awareness involves a radical separation as you disidentify from your thoughts and feelings and from everything else that arises within your experience. In a sense, this is the ultimate duality, the duality between awareness on one hand and everything that you're aware of on the other. And yet, the more you know yourself as pure awareness, separate from the content of your awareness, the more you will sense that your awareness and the content of your awareness make up one single reality, a unified whole. Now let's look at some traditional sources that offer methods for connecting with this underlying unity. The first paragraph of the first chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, the classic guide to Jewish practice, begins by quoting Psalm 16, verse 8. Shviti Hashem lenegdi tamid, I set the divine before me constantly. It then goes on to explain, and I quote, "For there is no comparison between one who is amongst family or relatives and one who is in the presence of a king. How much more so when you contemplate that you are in the presence of the Holy One whose glory fills all creation. As it is said, do I not fill heavens and earth?" Which is a verse from the book of Jeremiah, by the way. Bearing this in mind, one will acquire a sense of reverence and surrender before the awesomeness of the divine. Similarly, in chapter 3 of the Tanya, it says, and I quote, "When the intellect deeply contemplates and immerses itself in the greatness of the divine, how it fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds, and in the presence of whom nothing separate exists, there will be born a feeling of awe before the divine majesty, to be humbled before the blessed greatness, which is without end or limit, and the awe of God will be born in the heart. Next, the heart will glow with an intense love like the burning of coals, with a passion, desire, longing, and yearning towards the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, the blessed infinite." Now, although these two pieces use different language, their essence is the same. They're aimed at shifting your focus from a world of separate beings and things to the underlying unity of being. It accomplishes this through a kind of radical amazement, as Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel used to say, reminding us that behind our usual mundane experience of things, there is an awesomeness, a blessed greatness of existence itself that fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds, and in the presence of which nothing separate exists, to quote the Tanya. Now, if you examine your own experience right now in this moment, you'll see that this description from the Zohar, that the divine fills all worlds and encompasses all worlds, also applies to your own awareness right now. Think about it. When you see the sky or hear a bird, you tend to think that you're perceiving something external to you. And on one level, that's perfectly reasonable. But at the same time, whatever you perceive, whatever is part of your experience, is literally made out of consciousness. That's not to say that the actual sky or bird is made out of your consciousness, but only to say that your experience of the sky and the bird is made out of your consciousness. You see, you're never really experiencing anything except different forms of your own consciousness, because all experience is, by definition, made out of consciousness. So in this sense, your awareness is literally filling everything within the world of your experience, because everything within the world of your experience is literally made out of your awareness. This is the expression of the Zohar, Mimale kol almim, fills all worlds. At the same time, when you stop perceiving the sky or the bird or whatever, the awareness remains. Your awareness is never limited to whatever you're perceiving, because it's the open and borderless field within which you perceive everything. So your awareness is also sovev kol almim, encompassing or surrounding all worlds. The Torah reading, Parshat Vayikra begins, Vayikra el Moshe, Vayedaber Hashem elav. Hashem called to Moses and spoke to him. The word Vayikra means called. The 14th century rabbi Yaakov ben Rash, known as the Baal HaTorim, pointed out that the letter Aleph at the end of the word Vayikra is written really tiny. He explains that Moses, in his humility, wanted to write it without the Aleph altogether so that it would spell Vayikar instead of Vayikra, implying that God didn't call to Moses, but simply happened upon Moses by accident. God said, "No, I am calling to you, Moses. You have to put the Aleph in there." So Moses wrote it small as an expression of humility. So why is a small Aleph an expression of humility? Ordinarily, there's that sense of the separate me, that's the ego, the sense of self that's made out of thoughts and feelings. And this egoic self-sense tends to get inflated, puffed up like a big Aleph. But when you become aware of your thoughts and feelings, rather than getting absorbed and identified with them, then that inner me seems tiny compared to the vastness of your awareness. And that vastness is an ego because it doesn't have any content. It's not based on thoughts or judgments about me and my story or anything like that. It's just aware. It's literally nothing, called ayin in Kabbalah, because it's not a thing. It's the space within which everything is perceived. At the same time, everything you perceive is literally made out of awareness. It doesn't have any separate existence at all, at least not within your experience. When you really get this, that nothing in your experience is separate from you, you can spontaneously drop all resistance and know that basic oneness for yourself as yourself, or more precisely, as nothing. So to open up this awareness of awareness and know the oneness that includes everything, let's chant these words from the Zohar, Mi male kol almim, filling all worlds, sovev kol almim, surrounding all worlds. This melody was written by Michael Shapiro, and I learned it from my friend Arik Labowitz. Let's sing. Mi male kol almim, sovev kol almim, umi baladeh. Me, Offering awareness as a gift to whatever's arising with Lecha. Lecha. Bringing your left hand to your belly, connecting down with your body, into your legs and feet, into your heart and lungs and shoulders. Relaxing excess tension down into your arms and hands and fingers, and feeling into your skull and your face, bringing a little smile, chanting Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. Right hand to your forehead. Becoming aware of Mimale Kol Almin, that everything in your perception is literally filled with your awareness, made out of your awareness. And your awareness is also Sovev Kol Almin, infinitely beyond anything that you perceive, the infinite depths within which this moment arises with Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma.
Matahu.
going in your mind, grounding your awareness in your body, in the flow of your breathing, and we'll sit together for 7 minutes. closing with the three portals, bringing your hand to your heart, giving of your awareness with Lecha. Lecha. Left hand on your belly, connecting with your body and your breathing. Naaseh. Naaseh. Touching your forehead, aware of the space of this moment. Vast and borderless. Vinishma. Vinishma. Atahu. Until next time, all blessings.